With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Same man, the voice of the Browns here on the Mercedes-Benz of Bedford hotline, Jim Donovan. Jim, I said we all know what the best win of the Hugh Jackson era was. That's easy. There's only been one of them. But the worst loss, I think that's up there yesterday, Jim. You're down 28-7 to a team you were favored over, and oh, by the way, didn't have Andrew Luck.
Yeah, didn't have Andrew Luck. You're right. And not only that, Anthony, didn't have two cornerbacks going into the game. Vontae Davis, their best corner, and their second-round draft choice, Quincy Wilson, was out. They were missing about six guys yesterday, along with Andrew Luck, missing their center. That I would rank this one as probably a loss that hurts the most in the Hugh Jackson era. Yesterday's loss right up at the top of the list.
Jim Donovan joining us on the show. Yeah, well, I would honestly say that the Senior Bowl was probably his best win. But either way, Jim, okay, well, then what is the question here? Because I'm nervous. Is it the heart? Because if it's the heart of the football team, boy, you got a real problem on you. Or is it just they just don't have the horses just yet, and maybe we expected a bit too much against the Colts?
Well, here's what I think. I think that if you're going to run the offense the way that they're running the offense right now, which, let's face it, is not a running team, and it's not they're not going to pound the ball because they haven't pounded the ball. They pounded the ball, I think, on the first play of the game yesterday. And it was a pretty good run by Crowell, maybe for like 10 or 11 yards, and they got a first down right away. But as they drift away from the running game, they become a passing team. There's no question about it. Whether they're behind or the game is even, and I know score dictates what you do with your game plan, whether or not you stay with it or you just rip it up and go, and throw the ball. But the reality is they have become a throwing team, and they really throw the ball a lot. If you're going to throw the ball that much, you must have much better wide receivers than they have. These wide receivers are not cutting it, and I don't know that they ever will. So you have to have, if you're going to have a passing team, it's a two-part problem. Number one, the guy throwing it, and I still think that he's going to be okay. But the guys catching it have got to do their job, and they're not. So I think that's the major problem right now. With the way they're running the offense, they don't have the horses to catch the football when they throw it as much as they do.
This is going to turn into a two-part question then. How do you think the offensive line played yesterday?
I didn't think that I didn't think they were – I didn't look at them, Ken, as being terrible, and I didn't think of them as being dominating. I think it was just kind of a businessman's, workman-like job that they did. I thought that – I thought he had enough time at to throw the ball. But I will say this, again – There's no separation by these receivers. I mean, when you watch T.Y. Hilton and how open he could get and some of these other guys that they've played against, I mean, he does not have, the bounce step, throw the ball right on time, and he's got a guy that's, wide open. I think that's why he's throwing interceptions, is that everything is so covered because these guys just don't get open. But I didn't look at the offensive line as being a major problem yesterday. I thought that they have struggled in the Pittsburgh game at times and even in Baltimore, but I thought that they were a little bit better yesterday.
Okay, then if that's the case, if they were better, then why are they running the ball anymore? Is it just because they're down so much?
I really think Hugh likes to throw the ball. I mean, I think every coach says, yeah, we want to run the ball, but I really believe, in his heart of hearts, he's throwing the ball, and I think he wants to throw the ball. I thought that they threw the ball a lot down in Cincinnati, when he was there, and I think they threw the ball a lot when he was with the Raiders. I just think that I think he throws the football, and like I said, my opening point, I really believe if you're going to do it as much as that, you got to really have much better wide receivers than we have. I mean, you just look at the these guys are showing up on Wednesdays now, and they're active for games on Sundays. Now, I know Coleman is out, but you have to have more. Even if Coleman was playing at the top of his game and was healthy, you'd have to have another guy or two guys that are much better than the crop of receivers they have right now.
And I want to expand on that. We're talking to Jim Donovan, play-by-play voice of the Cleveland Browns. Okay, Travis Benjamin, we know what happened there. Then Taylor Gabriel. And right. Then I think about the receivers that are on the team now that weren't even supposed to be in Higgins and Leslie. Is it fair to now say, Jim, that maybe evaluating wide receivers not an area of strength right now, this organization?
I think that's a very fair statement, yeah. And it's gone on, Anthony, for the last, you know, in a previous regime, too. I mean, Ray Farmer was deplorable. Evaluating wide receivers to the point that he didn't take any. And now, you know, these guys had a bountiful crop of a year ago that they took, but none of them are really panning out. Higgins was the old Higgins yesterday. You know, Ricardo Lewis, bad game. You know, just has never shown up to be a guy that you can count on to, first of all, get open, and then second of all, make a catch. Kenny Britt is, you know, we always have room for a Kenny Britt on this team, whether it's Dwayne Bowe, or in this case, Kenny Britt yesterday. Yeah, I think that the evaluation of the wide receiver position, and in the previous regime, the fact that they didn't feel they, I think that there was a kind of a cockiness that you can find wide receivers anywhere, but you can't, obviously, because we're not finding them and they're not here right now. And that is going to be the main struggle, I think, for the young quarterback.
Well, yeah, if you offer a guy a lot of money, there's always going to be people who are willing to take your money. That's
right.
You'll never find a problem there.
Jim, my problem boils down to this. You know, you have a 21-year-old quarterback who I thought the offensive line, I thought they protected pretty well yesterday.
Yeah, I did too, yeah.
And I'm thinking to myself, all right, one of the goals this year is to evaluate your quarterback that you took in DeShone Kizer with these great quarterbacks supposedly coming through the next good crop in college. How are they going to do that on this team with these weapons around him, and at what point also, if they continue to lose games and he has the worst quarterback rating in the NFL, he's thrown 7 interceptions already,
yeah.
At what point would you think about pulling the plug for a little bit?
Well, you know, if you go by what Hugh has said, Anthony, I mean, that he will not pull the plug. And again, I think that, you know, I think that he is totally 1,000% committed to him. And I get what you're saying. I mean, there was even a point yesterday where I saw Kevin Hogan warming up. Now, maybe that was just to kill a little time yesterday over there on that sideline. But he stayed with Kizer, and he rode it out again. And I think that, you know, it is a problem. So what do you do? I think, number one, you have to go with what you have right now, unless you're going to make a trade at the deadline and try and come up with something. You know, Sammy Watkins was available, you know, at a point in time. You know, I think they wanted a second-round draft choice for him. You know, we seem to have an ample amount of second-round draft choices, but we're obviously all in on the draft again next year with those 5 high picks. So you have to go with what you have right now. What you have right now was, I think, Duke Johnson and Njoku were the go-to guys yesterday. But none of your wide receivers were your go-to guys. I mean, Leslie made a phenomenal catch. There's no question about it. They didn't throw to him again the rest of the afternoon. You know, I think right now all you have to do is you got to find some guys that you can get out there that can give the kid a target and a reliable one that he can throw the ball to. Now, I'm starting to see that from the rookie tight end, but he's a tight end. You know, Duke Johnson did, you know, flash a little bit out in space yesterday and make some plays and then get a lot of yards after the catch. But other than that, in the guys that sit in the wide receiver room, they're not there, and I don't know that you know, they're going to suddenly, you know, all get it at once, and we're going to have, you know, we're going to look back on this and say, see, patience paid off, because I don't know. Talent seems to pay off, and there just doesn't seem to be enough of it at that position.
Jim Donovan with us on the hotline. I know that Greg Williams said, come get some, but I don't think he was talking about a 21-point deficit to the Indianapolis Colts in the first half. What was going on defensively? You can't give up 28 to a team without Andrew Luck.
No. No, well, I mean, obviously, number one was the glaring thing was Jamar Taylor could not cover, you know, T.Y. Hilton, and that got progressively worse as it went along. But the other thing was they are like a tick off on a number of those plays, just a beat off of getting a sack, and they're just not getting home on the pass rush. They really aren't. You know, it's the same way with, you know, Flacco would, you know, get rid of it, and they were very close, but they're not getting there. Now, are they going to get there when Myles Garrett gets into the lineup and plays? I mean, we can only hope so. But I don't think there's enough of a pass rush. I understand that Taylor had a tough day, It was better in the second half when McCourty went over there and played him. I mean, that quieted that down. But still, Brissett was a guy that should have gone down a number of times, and they just didn't get there, whether it was Nassib just not getting there. Ogba never gets there. You know, there were some other guys that were close. I mean, you know, even when they sent people. But if you're going to blitz, obviously you got to get there. You leave yourself exposed on the other end. I think it's mostly pass rush, Anthony, that just is not getting to the quarterback on time. So if you get there just a little bit late and it turns into a big play, then the majors, you can't take heart in the fact that you almost got there, because the fact is you're not getting there and they're making big plays on you. So I hopefully Myles Garrett comes around soon, but it's an awful lot of responsibility to put on him, that he suddenly is going to become the pass rush, and Ogba and Orchard and Nassib and all these guys are going to become, you know, his Robin while he's Batman. It's just, it's a lot to put on him, especially dealing with the injury that he dealt with, and I think that's the major problem.
I had this vision last night after the game that I was like, well, at least Myles Garrett didn't play. This isn't me trying to make up an excuse here or trying to find a moral victory. Those days are done. But I felt, could you imagine how bad I'd have felt if Myles Garrett would have played in that game and they still would have played that way defensively?
Yeah.
Then you know the reaction to that, Jim. You know how people are calling in about that one, and now the number one overall pick's a bust to it. Wait, fair or not, you know how that works.
Yeah, absolutely. We can only go with what the small sample that we saw. And I know, you know, it was good. You know, now it's projected to be great once he really gets into the flow of things, that he's going to be a great player. And that will help them an awful lot. But right now, they just don't get to the quarterback. They really don't. They just don't. They don't hit him. They don't get him. The guy, whoever it is, whether it's been Roethlisberger, Flacco, or Jacoby Brissett, you know, they're just getting the ball off, and that secondary cannot hang on at that point. And it really ate him up yesterday. I really thought that they were going to get that guy down a number of times yesterday, because Arizona hit him a lot the week before in the game that he started against the Cardinals. But that's the difference. The Cardinals got there, and the Browns did not, and the Browns paid for it in a big way.
Jim Donovan, play-by-play voice of the Browns, was there in Indy yesterday. Jabril Peppers, a lot of criticism about the way they used him yesterday. Again, you know, even Jay Feely or everybody who's part of the broadcast was talking about on television how deep he was, and you're watching it. You have that all-22 view from up there. Are you seeing anything change? I know Greg Williams once again reaffirmed that he loves the way they're using Jabril Peppers this week.
I did not see a big change, Anthony. On a couple of plays, he would pinch in a little bit more. He blitzed a couple of times, you know, and tried to break through. But again, when he's blitzing from so far back that, I mean, he would have to have Olympic speed to get there and get to the quarterback. So, no, but I did listen Friday. I was in the room when Greg Williams was talking about that. And, I mean, you know, Greg is obviously very, very sure of himself, that this is all working, and almost seemed flustered when, you know, people would even question the fact of where he's playing and how he's playing him and how deep he's playing him. So I assume that Greg is pretty dug in his ways, and that, you know, he's committed to playing him back that way, and them not getting beat over the top, getting balls thrown over their head. But they're getting a lot of balls thrown in front of them and in front of him in specifically, that still are chewing up a lot of yardage on them. And I don't know, I just felt he was going to be a guy that was just going to be all over the ball. You know, there were even points in the preseason, I think it was the Giants game, where he had a quarter in the second quarter where he was just all over the place. And that was fine with me, and I think it was fine with a lot of people, that's the way he's going to play. That looked like the way he played in college that made him so attractive for them to draft him and where they drafted him. But I haven't seen any of that since the start of the regular season. He just seems to be a very frustrated football player right now on three counts. Number one, he doesn't like losing. Number two, I think he likes being around the ball and he's too far away from the ball. And number three, his reputation of being a dangerous return guy is obviously out there, because everybody, especially in the punt game, the kickoff game is a totally different thing. But in the punt game, everybody is just punting the ball, willing to punt it out of bounds, and they make him go side to side. He is very frustrated. He's not being allowed to do what he came to do.
Jim, I hate to ask this question. It seems unfathomable if we would have asked this before the season. Are they worse than last year?
No, I don't think they're worse than last year. But I think, like I said, I really do believe that there is a huge void. They're the same as they were last year at wide receiver. Although, I will say this, Pryor was definitely outplaying what we're getting from Kenny Britt. I mean, if you just use that position and say, okay, we had Pryor last year, we have Britt this year, I definitely think that Pryor had more going for him and gave them more play for play, you know, as far as, you know, his effort throughout the ball game and what he was able to produce than what they're getting there. But there's a sameness to the other guys. I really think that defensively, they'll definitely look better when Garrett gets there, and that will be the total judgment on how they're playing defensively. I do think they have better defensive players than they had last year. I think they play the run better than they played the run here ever, probably, since they've come back in 1999. But again, I think even if you're going to play a young quarterback, but any quarterback, and you're going to throw the ball in a throw-happy league, you have to have guys that can get open and catch it. And there's a sameness there. The sameness is Corey Coleman's hurt again, and these other guys are just not ready to step up and play at this level. And they really aren't. I really believe that to be true after watching them now. Some of them flash a little bit, but, you know, as far as being able to play a whole game and then back it up with a next game the following week, that's not happening. And I don't know that it is going to happen. And that's the distressful part when they fall behind in a game and need to score. Like when Indianapolis, you know, when they matched that first score and it was 7-7 and Indy then went right back down and scored again, well, now you got to match that. And then that's when they went dark, and that's when the game really got away from them.
Jim, the Bengals are coming to town on Sunday. They're 0-3. Be a little more encouraged that they lost up in Green Bay the way they did, or is this you better be ready because they're going to be coming
to
at least get
a win. Yeah, I think you better be ready, Ken. I thought that, you know, at 21-7, I thought that they, you know, that score caught my my attention as we were coming home, and they're doing it at Lambeau Field, and I'm saying, okay, here they go. They, you know, they made a change at offensive coordinator. It looks like the offense perked up a bit, and they're starting to go. Still, when you look at them, I mean, they're, you know, they have playmakers, which we definitely do not have. We don't have the amount that they have, and I don't know that we have, you know, anybody that can go like A.J. Well, we can't. We don't have anybody like A.J. Green and some of these other players that they have. But, you know, I think defensively they fly around a little bit, but, you know, they didn't hold on to the lead. That's a tough loss, but they were better, obviously, than they've been in the two games prior to this where they couldn't even score. So Andy Dalton looks very frustrated. But this is I felt a lot better going into the Indy game than I do going into the Cincinnati game, because I think the Bengals at some point are going to get this right, and they're going to start to play, and they're going to start to score. They just still have too much talent. Now, they've lost a lot on the offensive line. They lost Zeitler and Whitworth, and that's obviously been a big, big problem for them to try and make up the losses of those two in free agency. But there's still star power over there on both sides, defensively and offensively. Now the question is the heart of the Bengals. Are they going to fight through this and try and turn this around, or are they going to just call it a year? And I know it's early. I think it's a little bit too early for them to call it a year.
Jim, I thank you very much for the time. We love talking to you every Monday. Take care, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys, take care. Thanks.
Thank you. Jim Donovan, the voice of the Browns, joining us on the Mercedes-Benz of Bedford Hotline. Do you have any idea how bad I wanted to ask him right after that go? All right, Jim. Josh McCown comes in here. Week 5, he puts up a game he got against the Dolphins. You lose. How do you react? I was like, nah, I can't troll him. He's seen it all. I can't troll him.
He takes his job very seriously. He's a professional. He doesn't want to be bombarded with juvenile antics like that.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.